From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 85, the episode that will crash your phone.
Oh, this Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
So, as you can tell, Sean Birch is out this week. He will rejoin us next week.
We mourn his passing.
He's not dead. He'll be back next week.
We won't forget you, Sean. Oh, it says here to talk about Reddit.
Yes, you can help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story. And if it gets a few votes, we'll talk about it right here on the Deemable Tech Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can vote other stories up or down as well. Just go to reddit.com/r/deemable or more simply, deemable.com/reddit, and it will take you there. And also, if you are a Redditor, we are looking for a new admin to help manage and moderate our subreddit page.
Oh.
So if that's something you'd be interested in doing to help us out, submit a text post to our subreddit explaining why you would make a great admin.
What's that pay?
It pays a whole bunch of nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, you should totally do it.
All right. Well, let's jump right into the chaotic, seething maelstrom that is this week in tech news. Here is this week's rundown.
At the Google I/O conference this week, Google VP Sundar Pichai announced that HBO Now is coming to Android devices. While a specific date has not been announced, Pichai mentioned that it would be available in time for Season 2 of True Detective, which debuts on June 21st.
Ooh.
Yes, HBO Now will be available as an app and will be compatible with the Chromecast, so you can take your HBO Now app and you can cast it to your TV. Apple was believed to have a window of exclusivity with regards to the HBO Now service. It's clear the window is now coming to a close. Reddit user Peanut Butter Shutter commented, "There is a God, and his name is Google."
Yeah, I didn't expect it to last too long. I was honestly surprised that HBO was willing to give them an exclusive moment.
Yeah, I figured it would be a window, and I figured it would come to other devices, but this is sooner than I'd expected.
Yeah, I know a lot of Android fans are going to be super, super excited.
I'm pumped. I mean, Chromecast compatibility is like, once you add that to that's the feature that makes me go, I'm on board.
Yeah,
sold.
There you go.
Done.
All right, well, a little bit of possible happy news for Apple fans. Apple has filed a patent for a built-in telephoto camera for, a possible future iPhone, iPad, iPad mini, maybe even MacBook. We don't know.
Interesting.
So according to the patent, instead of adding lenses to the existing camera, the patent proposes a solution that would add an additional camera to the device. So you would have a regular camera and a telephoto camera. And the telephoto camera would have a much narrower field of view, but also have a much higher magnification factor. Now, of course, just because Apple has filed for a patent doesn't mean that we will ever see it come to fruition. In an Apple product.
Because Apple's a fruit.
Apple has an incredible amount of patents, as everyone knows, that have never, ever seen the light of day as a real product. Apple currently has a patent for a bayonet-style camera lens attachments for the iPhone and iPad.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like it would just hook on like a bayonet.
But you can't stab people with it.
I suppose you could stab people with it. I don't think it'd be very effective at stabbing people.
Probably for the best.
Because it's a camera lens, so they tend to be dull.
All right,
unless you break them and then you
can stab
someone.
The bayonet part just threw me, that's all.
It's just a style. Okay. It's a bayonet knife.
Well, but you just said it was a lens.
It attaches like a bayonet.
Okay.
There you go. They also have a patent for an iPhone with interchangeable lenses. You could just take the lens off and put a new lens on. And they even have a patent for an iPhone with multiple camera sensors and a beam splitter that would separate the red and the blue and the green light spectrum, which would apparently make it easier to get a higher resolution picture with a more pixels.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
So, but again, they've never seen the light of day, so it wouldn't be surprising if this doesn't either. But it would be cool because it would make it look like those 3D Android phones.
Yeah, yeah.
With the multiple camera lenses.
Or what was the Amazon phone that had the 3D?
Oh, I think it was the Amazon Fire.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The flame, something fire-related, spark.
Or the Amazon Flop, because I don't know of anybody who has one.
The Amazon Wet Fuse.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Amazon. Surprising absolutely no one, Google also announced at Google I.O. that the next iteration of its Android operating system will be coming out this year and that it will be codenamed M, in keeping with the alphabetical theme of previous releases. What is not known is what delicious sugary treat M will stand for.
It'll stand for Mmm.
Android K turned out to stand for Kit Kat, and the current version of the system, which is L, is Lollipop. The word on the street is that M will stand for Macadamia Nut Cookie.
Mmm. Mm.
But we hasten to add that this is pure speculation. So you mmm is good, actually. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts?
I heard somebody theory at M&M.
Yeah.
And since they did go with a branding, they did do KitKat. marketing agreement with KitKat on there. I don't know of any other M sounding sweet treats other than macadamia. That sounds really great.
Yeah. Sounds delicious. Okay. So you want substance to your news reports?
Sure.
While previous releases of the operating system have focused on upgrades to the system's design, performance, and battery life, M promises to focus on the basics, stability, and usability. Google also says that M will give users the ability to grant permissions to apps on a case-by-case basis. Interestingly, this ability was present in earlier versions of the Android OS, but it was actually intended for developer use only, and it was eventually disabled. So you may have had that ability on a previous phone and lost it.
But that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's coming back for real.
Good.
Of course, iOS users have enjoyed so-called granular permissions for years.
I wasn't going to brag.
This is one case where we are glad to see Google taking a page from Apple's playbook.
Absolutely. That is a really... it's about time for them to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is this is something that's actually led to a lot of confusion because of the fact that you could sort of do it on old systems.
Yeah.
And so I get people asking me all the time, well, wait, I can just grant some permissions, right? And I'm like, no. You have to... It's all or nothing on Android. Seriously? Yeah. So, yeah, I think this will be huge for everybody except for Facebook, who's probably like, oh, crap.
I have a couple of suggestions. I did Google search these, but meringue.
Okay.
That would work.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Key lime, or they thought, key lime pie. They thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we thought before KitKat, we thought it was going to be key lime.
So maybe they'll go back on that and go with meringue.
Sure.
Also, Milky Way.
Milky Way.
That's another
Or milk duds.
Product. Milk duds would work, yeah.
Anything.
So, you know, giving these away for free here, Google. Open source, you know. Creative Commons, please attribute us. That's all we ask.
It's a freaking diet day. You're killing me, right?
All right, well, going back to the Apple end of the world, Johnny Ive, you know Johnny Ive. He does all those great videos during the Apple press conferences in his very distinguished British voice. He is stepping down.
What?
Or is it stepping up?
Wait.
Let's call it stepping away from the day-to-day routine at Apple.
Okay.
Johnny Ive, as you may know, has been the Senior Vice President of Design at Apple for quite some time. Johnny's the man behind most of the iconic designs that you've seen come out of Cupertino. He's the one that invented the rounded rectangle that you love to... Well,
invented.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
So Johnny is now the Chief Design Officer at Apple. So he's no longer a Vice President. He's gone on up to a Chief Officer. And that's a title I haven't heard of before.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that they'd come up with a new title for Johnny, I mean.
You are so special, you get your own title. Yeah.
So it's safe to assume that this means that he will have less to do with the day-to-day management, which is pretty much what they said in an internal memo that went out. Richard Howarth is taking over as Vice President of Industrial Design, and Alan Dye is the new Vice President of User Interface Design, two departments that Ive was overseeing at the same time after, totally just slipped my mind, the guy who was kind of given the boot not too long ago. He was over User Interface. Johnny Ive stepped over and
vaguely
took over.
Vaguely remember what you're talking about, but
Scott Forstall.
Okay.
Scott Forstall.
Yeah.
So... Johnny was overseeing both of them. Now he can focus on just overseeing design and potentially, you know, spend more time at home with the family. So congrats to him, I guess.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, is this a promotion? Is it a demotion? Is it just motion?
He's a chief now, so it's definitely a promotion.
Yeah,
I don't know if it means more money.
What's he doing?
I don't know if it means more money. It probably means less work.
Yeah.
And he still is the big boss. So
I guess
that's the impression that I got from the memo that went out. So
okay,
good news for him. I think you got some bad news for somebody else coming up though, don't you, Tom?
Absolutely do. Good
segue.
Did
you like that segue?
There.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys may be familiar with Ross Ulbricht. He, of course, is the founder and operator of the notorious darknet drug market, the Silk Road. Well, this week he was sentenced to life in prison for his involvement with that.
Yep.
Under the alias The Dread Pirate Roberts, he had founded and run the site. And then earlier this year, he was tried and found guilty of narcotics conspiracy and numerous other charges. The minimum possible sentence that he was facing was 20 years, which is a term that he and his lawyers had pleaded for. During the sentencing hearing, the court heard several accounts of people who had become hooked on drugs or even overdosed on drugs obtained through the Silk Road. Ooh. And, of course, Ulbricht's failed attempts to order hits on other members of the Silk Road community probably didn't help his case.
Yeah.
So his life sentence comes without the possibility of parole. Barring a successful appeal, Ulbricht will die behind bars.
All right, so let me ask you, Tom, what is your thoughts on this? How, do you feel that this was the right thing, or did they go overboard?
It's a hard call. Like, I feel, you know, he did bad stuff, and he shouldn't get off from it.
Now, we talked about how this went down on the show, didn't we? I vaguely recall. I know we talked about it in person, but just for our listeners, maybe, I don't know what episode that was, if you didn't hear it. This was an amazing takedown that the FBI did.
It was.
They had it planned out perfectly. You know, so often when we hear about the government dealing with more advanced technology, they just don't do it well.
They don't get it. Yeah.
But this was absolutely perfect. They caught him literally red-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not literally.
Yeah.
Figuratively.
He had his laptop open. He was on the site. He was logged in.
Yeah.
They nailed him before he could close laptop or...
They shut anything down, or whatever.
They
were so ready for this. They had a USB device that would keep the computer open, so it wouldn't lock. It wouldn't go to screensaver or lock.
Mm-hmm.
They were just ready for this. They had a charger ready for the laptop for that model. They already knew what model his laptop was. They were ready for this, and it was really impressive that they knew what they were getting into. And they were ready to get everything they needed to take him down.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge high-profile takeout.
His defense, of course, was, you know, the Dread Pirate Roberts defense that, I passed that off. It wasn't me. I got out of it a long time ago. But because of the evidence they got, there was no way that was going to stand up in court.
And I followed that trial pretty closely. And at first I was like, oh, it's an interesting theory, but he didn't present any convincing evidence that that was actually the case. And there were chat logs from throughout the lifetime of the site on his computer, clearly showing he was involved in day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Let me ask you, and just to clarify on something, you said that he had pleaded for 20 years. Is that what they were petitioning for? Did they actually try to do a plea bargain beforehand? Do you know?
No, this was after,
during
the sentencing hearing. Like, basically at this point, he's saying, okay, I did it. Please don't lock me up and throw away the key.
Gotcha.
You know, when you get to sentencing, that's the point where you want to throw yourself upon the mercy of the court.
Yeah.
And he did. Unfortunately for him, it didn't work.
It's one of those, I don't know why he didn't try. I mean, unless they just didn't offer him anything. Like, they didn't try.
I don't know. I feel like he was stupid. I don't know. It seems like there were things about the trial, and this is getting a little bit into the weeds on this story.
Sure.
One of the things is we don't know to this day exactly how, we know how they found Ross Ulbricht. We don't know how they found the Silk Road servers. A lot of speculation is that the NSA was involved, but that was never revealed during the trial. But to challenge that, they would have said, had the defense team would have had to say, yes, Ross Ulbricht is the Dread Pirate Roberts. And they apparently didn't want to do that. So they kind of took a gamble and they lost big.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been a big cornerstone of their appeal, fighting, oh, the government shouldn't have been able to find the server in the first place, yada, yada. They didn't go down that route. They threw that away. That's a closed avenue to them.
Well, I mean, that it doesn't prohibit them from appealing down the road. I mean,
it's possible. You know, I'm not a lawyer.
I can't get into that. It doesn't seem like, I mean, anytime this happens, usually there is constant appeals, especially since if he was guilty of it, he's sitting on quite a bit of cash, or he might have access to the cash somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I guess, no, with the Silk Road, they actually got the money. They got the FBI is the biggest holder of Bitcoin now because of that.
It's true. It's true.
So and, you I know, guess he doesn't have access to that money.
One of the things, like, some people say, oh, they never found all the money. I don't know. I'm sure he was spending money like water. We know he traveled a good bit while he was operating the site.
He was also apparently paying for hits on people.
Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
So was it too harsh a sentence? It does seem harsh, but he did some bad stuff.
Well, in news that is slightly less criminal, how's that for a segue? This one sounds like it might be an urban legend, but it is not. There is a text message that if you send it to your friends, a friend specifically who has an iPhone, it may cause their phone to reboot. Now, the emphasis on may.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're probably waiting breathlessly for us to tell you what that message is, but here's the thing. We really can't tell you over the podcast because it's kind of gibberish.
Yeah.
It's a lot of special characters from other language sets, so it really doesn't make sense in any language. The first two words are in English, however, and they are effective, period, space, power.
Okay.
So we'll call this the effective power bug. How about
that? Effective power bug. I like it.
Effective power. And if you use this bug, you have effective power over your friends.
That's true.
From what we're hearing, the effective power bug happens when an iPhone attempts to display a shortened version of this message that starts effective power and ends with this long string of characters. And the iPhone will then reset if your phone is locked. If your phone's unlocked, the screen will just go black and you can't do anything with your phone. It just sits there. If you hold down the power button, it doesn't do anything. The only thing that does work is Siri. So,
Siri to the rescue.
Yeah, Siri comes to the rescue. Other than that, it's basically harmless, and you can clear it by asking Siri to read unread messages and then using Siri reply to the person that sent you the offending text.
And probably so, say, hey, you jackass.
So, for example, if, I don't know, Tom Braun sent it to me, my screen would go black.
I would never.
Like what happened earlier this week.
Listen, man, I had to test that for science.
Sure, sure. So what I would do based on these instructions is I would ask Siri to read the messages. I would just say, Siri, read me my unread messages. She would respond and then say, Siri, tell Tom to shove off. And then it would clear it out and my screen would go back. Ironically, when we did test this, I didn't have to do that because I have a Pebble Watch.
That's right.
And on my Pebble Watch, it pops up notifications of all my messages. So I saw it on my watch and I saw that my screen was blank and I was like, ah, crap. And just out of habit, I cleared the message using my Pebble Watch.
Yeah.
And that cleared the notification off of my screen. My phone was fine.
There you go.
Now, I understand that that's not necessarily true for Apple Watch users.
Apparently, if you have an actual Apple Watch, it simply will reboot the Apple Watch.
Well, it makes sense. It's using iOS.
It's using iOS,
I mean,
yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Now, early reports indicated that turning off text message notifications would disable the bug, but some users are reporting that it still works even with notifications disabled. Now, Apple, of course, is working on an iOS fix, but as of us recording this, one has not yet been released. However, something else really interesting has happened. As we were attempting to attest it and verify it tonight, we found that we could not send each other the message.
Yeah.
So it simply would not go through.
And to be clear, I am on Verizon.
Right, and
you
I'm on Sprint.
Right.
So we were sending it from an Android device on Verizon to an iPhone device on Sprint.
And then you tried to send it back, and it wouldn't come to me.
It wouldn't come back either. Yeah, it just would not go through. We even tried, if you shortened the thread, it would go through. But if you change the English words, it wouldn't go through.
It had the gobbledygook, which is actually sort of the dangerous payload of the message, it would not transmit. And we could send other texts.
Yeah. Other texts were working fine, but that specific one would not do it. So it appears that some carriers, either, I think it must...
It's probably Verizon.
Yeah, it must be Verizon that's doing it, has blocked it so that it's not going through. Because I then attempted to send it to my wife, who's on Sprint and an iPhone, and it did work. It went over iMessage, and it did reboot her phone.
And that's also worth mentioning. This apparently will be effective on iMessage, on various instant messaging apps. It doesn't just have to be a text message.
Yeah, I've read that it works on Facebook Messenger and Snapchat, the other one. Oh, those
WhatsApp,
those dang social media, whatever these kids are doing these days. Yeah, WhatsApp. There you go.
It's WhatsApp. That's the one.
That's the one. So yes, it'll work on multiple messaging systems, but you know, regardless. I know you're probably on Reddit right now looking for what the thread is, you know, so that you can do it to your friends. But seriously, don't do as one of our friends had experienced. Don't send it to someone multiple times over and over again, being annoying, making their phone reboot. The good news is I have my wife told me that it rebooted in record time.
Oh, so
it was efficient. Very fast reboot.
Very efficient bug.
Faster reboot than she's ever seen before. But yeah, be cool. Don't do that.
All right. Okay, as candidates throw their hats in the ring for the 2016 presidential election, The Atlantic has identified one key issue, which is tech-related, that no one has looked at. Whose campaign website has the best 404 page?
All right, and that's great, because we have always talked that we don't talk about politics here, but we will tear you apart if your technology sucks.
That's right.
And we'll laud you if your technology is great.
Absolutely.
Regardless of platform, regardless of your political persuasion, we only look at the tech. So go on.
This was back a couple of years ago, but we did review the candidates' apps for which election was it?
That was 2012.
2012?
We reviewed the Obama's, Romney, and Ron Paul's apps, I think.
That's
it was.
Right.
And I remember that Romney's apps were absolutely terrible.
They were.
Obama's was mediocre. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. And Ron Paul's was just kind of there.
You know, so, this time around,
nothing amazing.
This is a sidebar. This time around, apparently, they're all on LinkedIn. So maybe that's
LinkedIn.
A story we need to do.
All right.
But the 404 page is the page that you see on a website when you try to reach a page that's broken or no longer exists on that website. You know, the majority of the internet's websites produce a really basic 404 pages that have, you know, some stock text. But there's a few, like, for instance, Twitter's famous fail whale, that are kind of memorable and they're classics. And if you think about it, this is exactly what America wants in its chief executive. We want, you know, someone whose has an ability to remain cool in a crisis and maybe crack a joke or two. And, you know, what better crisis is there than being unable to find the webpage that you're looking for?
Absolutely.
So, Ray, with your permission, I thought we would visit a handful of the announced candidates' campaign sites and 404 it up.
All right. Well, let's
see what they got.
I'll see what they got. So who you want me to go to first?
Let's start out with Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. I forgot that he was running.
That's going to be true with a lot of
There's going to be a lot of people running this year.
There are.
All right, let me load up Bernie Sanders' 404 page.
Hi, this is Senator Bernie Sanders. The good news is you're on the right website, and it's a really good website. The bad news is you're on the wrong page. Just scoot down to the bottom of the page, and you'll find your way back home to where you should be. Thanks very much for being part of our campaign.
Thanks, Bernie.
All right, that's not bad. That's not bad. it is very direct and to the point.
It is.
Know,
and
tells me
you know, he's helpful. He's there to help you. He's there to hold your hand through this time of crisis.
Yeah, that's nice. All right, who we got next?
Let's check out Carly Fiorona's 404 page.
Carly Fiorona. Okay, let's see. Now, she has a video, too, but it doesn't autoplay like Bernie's does.
Let's see what she has to say.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Our founders never intended us to have a professional political class.
I think this is their home. Oh, this is their donation page. Carly, that's very clever.
We know the only way to reimagine our government is to reimagine.
You don't need to play the video.
That's kind of blah. Really, I mean, she just... It's like, hey, while you're here, give us some money.
You couldn't find what you're looking for, but donate.
No. So it doesn't even really let you know that you're at a page that isn't what you were looking for.
Well, clearly what you were looking for was to donate, right?
Yeah.
You didn't know it, but that's what you were looking for.
And she's going to say some garbage about Hillary Clinton there at the beginning. I don't know if you could hear that, but yeah, just basically a tiny little attack on Hillary Clinton and then, hey, give me some money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hillary.
Not impressive.
Speaking of Hillary, she has a 404 page.
All right.
That we need to check out.
All right. Let's see. Wow. Okay. this is remarkable. Okay. So.
Can you walk us through what you're saying
Yeah,
right
let me
now?
Walk you through this. The Clinton family, circa 1980s, I'm thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Is standing in against a brick wall. Bill is wearing a remarkably salmon button-up shirt with a short sleeve shirt and khakis. Hillary is wearing a teal blouse and some really impressive green shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like, is that little Chelsea?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's little Chelsea in some pink skirt and striped shirt. They're
you're beating around the bush.
I am skipping the important part. They're also standing next to Donald Duck.
like
a full-size Donald Duck
mascot.
From Disney.
Yeah.
Probably Disney World or Disneyland. And they are all wearing Donald Duck hats. Below the picture it says, "Oops, that link wasn't what it was quacked up to be." No, I did not mispronounce cracked up to be. It's quacked up to be. But hey, Hillary's taking advantage of the moment too. But while you're here, how about signing up to volunteer?
Oh, that rhymes.
Yeah, that's true. Again, I'll give her points for creativity. That is really hilarious to see, but not helpful. Doesn't very clearly let me know that the link didn't work.
I feel like you know that when you're seeing an 80s picture of the Clintons next to Donald Duck, you know something's gone wrong.
Something's gone wrong, seriously.
you aren't where you were supposed to be.
And there's something about the Disney characters from that era.
Yeah.
They're disturbing looking.
That's true.
Like, if you've ever seen Winnie the Pooh from back then and Mickey, they are really scary.
Just like this wide-eyed frozen face.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they just look more, not realistic, but they look more like the cartoons now than they used to. I guess the technology to build those wasn't quite what it was and what it is now. All right, so what do we have next?
That's a strong 404 page.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we should check out Lindsey Graham.
All right, let's load that one up.
Okay, now, I feel like this is an example of the stock 404 page.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty straightforward. It says, "Lindsey Graham, a conservative leader who can get things done," and in big, bold letters, "Page not found." "This page cannot be found. Please click here to visit the homepage. You may also be looking to volunteer to help Senator Graham make a contribution to support the campaign or learn more about Senator Graham. To contact the campaign or find an office, please visit this link." Straight to the point, does the job.
I don't like that he tells me what I might be looking for. I know what I'm looking for. You don't know what I'm looking for.
I know what I'm looking for, and you didn't give it to me.
Exactly.
That's true. My only criticism, I mean, it does the job. It's fine. My only criticism is there are links on this page, and I can't tell that.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the please click here, it's almost the same color.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really dark navy blue. And the rest of the text is black, so it's really hard to tell where the hyperlinks are until you hover over them. Just a design thing, I think that's terrible. But otherwise, you know, it's a solid-looking page. It's very strong-looking. That dark navy blue looks really good, and it's well-balanced. So, yeah. And it does a job, you know?
Yeah.
A 404 doesn't have to be funny. It just has to do the job.
But we like them funny.
We do like them funny. All right, what we got next?
Next up, we have Marco Rubio.
All right.
Who's from Florida.
That's right.
"One of the best things I've ever gotten to do is to work with you guys. Okay, this team got better every week. You played a great game. Sometimes in life, you're going to win. Sometimes things aren't going to go the way you like. You work and fight through this, and it'll all work out.
I don't know of any better teacher of life lessons than sports. To be able to use situations in a game..."
All right, so this is interesting. It says, "Fumble, you seem a little lost." And obviously it's playing a video about him coaching football. It doesn't... I mean, I guess it does in the "fumble, you seem a little lost." It's got a picture of the Miami Dolphins in the background.
Is this whole flight really football themed?
Is it really?
No, okay, it's not.
Okay.
All right.
That'd be interesting.
That's strange, though, I feel like. That throws me a little bit.
Yeah, that's surprising. It's playing again. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Okay, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like any of that autoplay.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, at least Bernie's does it every time. Rubio's, it does it sometimes. That's strange. But it's okay. That one's, I wouldn't rate it too high.
I feel like that's, if you're going to have a video on your 404 page, it needs to directly address the problem of the fact that you're on a 404
right,
page.
Right, right.
Like Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac.
Nope. Bernie Mac, I don't believe, is running for president so
but
far.
He
has
did,
not announced.
But if he did,
yeah,
I bet he'd have an awesome video. You know, yeah, this is just, I get it's a football metaphor, kind of funny, but...
And I don't think he's going to be running for president at all because he died in 2008.
Did he?
Bernie Mac did, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, didn't he pass away? He did, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Bernie Mac.
All right, that brought down the whole tone of the podcast.
Let's hit one more, and then we're out.
All right.
Mike Huckabee,
let's see. Oh, no audio on this one. It's, oops, looks like you caught the wrong page. And it has a picture of Mike with his dog on a boat with a fishing pole.
That's cute.
Does the job.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. Not too crazy. Don't have to try and figure out what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The design of his page is really odd, though. Like, all this stuff is going on the side. Looks like testimonials on the right.
I like how they've left the social media buttons in case you want to tweet his 404 page.
or Facebook. Or print it out.
Or print it out,
if you want to print out the 404 page. Wow, this design is really weird.
That's probably a site-wide thing.
There's a menu on, you click on it and it takes you off to the right.
Oh, yeah.
And, I don't know, let's click on about. Okay, this is an original design, I'll say that.
That's true.
It feels a little weird, like I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. But it seems pretty clean, and it's definitely interesting and unique.
Yeah, so, yeah.
All right. Like I said, does the job. A little amusing. That works.
I think that's...
I gotta say, I think my favorite is Bernie's.
Yeah.
I think Bernie Sanders has got my favorite of all of them.
I'm with you.
Then, like I said, I like Mike's. Mike Huckabee's, it works.
I think Hillary's is pretty good. It's not what you expect from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know?
Who was it? Carly's? Anyway. Carly Fiorina? She was the one I like the least.
Yeah. Redirecting the donation page.
Yeah, that's... I blow raspberries at you. In case you didn't know what that sound was, that's raspberries being blown at you. Most of them do the job, but yeah.
All right, so that was somewhat pointless, but a little fun. We hope you liked it.
If you want to take a look at them yourself, we will include the links in the show notes. And I guess that's all we got for today.
That's all we got. All
right. Well, if you have a suggestion or just have a comment for the show, give us a call or leave us a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can always just send us an email to feedback@deemable.com.
And don't forget, to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show, go to our subreddit page and submit a story and vote other stories up or down. Deemable.com/reddit. We'll take you there.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening. Boogity boogity boo!